everybody. Welcome back to Top Bins with Twins. We're so excited to be back on your podcast feed. It's been a little bit with the FA Cup and international break, so buckle up for Wild Card 30 Thoughts. Hey, everyone. This is Luke here with Top Bins with Twins. Sitting next to me, I've got Paul. Paul, say hi to everyone.
Hey, everybody. We are happy to be back on your podcast feed or YouTube feed, wherever you're listening to us. And while you're there, too, just leave us a quick little review, maybe 5 stars. Maybe tell us what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. But
nice little thumbs up and subscribe. Yeah, that would be great.
Whatever you can throw out there for us. But Luke, I'm happy to be back here with you.
Yeah, it's been a nice little break. You know, FPL has just disappeared off the face of the earth, so we figured that we'd take a little time away as well. And yeah, really kind of now that we have an idea of what's going on with the FA Cup, FA Cup kind of sorting itself out a little bit, we have a better idea of what's going to happen for Premier League and FPL-related teams, what players we should be targeting going forward for the run-in, and having an idea of exactly what we want to do personally with our own teams as well. So we're going to talk about all that in this episode today and also kind of talk through the pros and cons of wildcarding now in 30 if you have that chip left, or maybe, say, waiting for 31 and some other alternatives out there. There's a lot of permutations that can still play out, but the good thing is we do have more information than we did yesterday, so it's a lot easier to make some assumptions at this point. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Paul. Paul, tell everyone how you've been and kind of what's on your mind with FPL at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a hiatus. I mean, there's no question that I remember a couple months ago, I think Ben Krellen put out a tweet saying that if you're an FPL content creator or if you're just involved with FPL, prepare for March to be a really shitty month. And he was exactly right. I mean, I think we had, what, 2 game weeks in March, Luke?
Yeah, and here we are, March 31st, and we are excited for April to be here.
Yeah, and we have games coming around tomorrow and then also on Wednesday, so that's going to be great. But yeah, just excited to have FPL back. Want to make a strong push to finish the year. Obviously, I think both of us are in a position right now in our mini league, in our ranks, where we want to end on a much better note, which Luke last year had a meteoric rise towards the end of the season. So we'll see if he can repeat last season.
Stay tuned for what I have to say in this episode, because maybe I've got some good tips and tricks for you out there to perhaps use in your own team. So stick around for those good little tidbits of information.
Yeah, and just like Luke was talking about, the FA Cup kind of just wrapped up the knockout stages a little bit going into the semifinals. And I'll just go a quick little review over that so everybody understands what happened in that. Just a brief little catch up. So Crystal Palace beat Fulham 3-0. There was a Eze assist and goal, a Sar goal, and the other one, it was Nketiah in the 70th minute.
Yeah.
And then, so great for Palace to advance to the semifinal. I think the last time they advanced to the FA Cup semifinal was maybe in 2014, is what I think I saw that stat floating around.
It's been a minute.
So great for Palace, especially how they started this year. That's a team that me and Luke were really high on this year. So to have them in the FA Cup is kind of validating for both of us, I would say, a little bit.
Except they were not good in the beginning of the season, which.
No, they were horrible. They were horrible, which. We were early. This is kind of like what we talk about with FPL a lot, Luke, that sometimes you're just a little too early.
But the thing is, unlike a market or commodity, you don't really want to hold for the long term with some assets.
No, you get screwed.
Which is really frustrating because you have to be getting those points week in, week out. So there's not, the time horizon is very different than, say, you know, financially investing. With that in mind, though, it is kind of, like you're saying, Paul, validating to know that we picked the right team, even the right players in some situations. It's just they weren't quite there yet, weren't quite, you know, had it matured and evolved as a team to where they're, you know, now being more successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, Luke, in the other FA Cup quarterfinal that matched up the Palace will be playing, they're going to be playing Villa, who beat Preston North End 3-0. We had 2 goals from Marcus Rashford, which...
What was the penalty?
When was the penalty?
With Tielemans on the pitch. And Tielemans has been taking some pens for Aston Villa this season. So that gives us a lot of very helpful information, knowing that Rashford might be the preferred pen taker for Villa now. Because Watkins, very suspect Rodgers seems like he's not going to be taking the pins. So now the assumption is that Rashford's probably their go-to pin taker.
Which is huge, especially at his price point in FPL. Could be a great option maybe to have in your team. I know Villa may be possibly doubling later on, so a good opportunity maybe for some people to invest early there. But then in the other semifinal, we now have Nottingham Forest and Man City. Forest beat Brighton on pens. And then Manchester City beat Bournemouth 2-1 with a Haaland and a Marmoush goal. But more importantly, Haaland was hurt in that fixture.
And so he did also miss a penalty as well, too.
He missed a penalty. And he is seen in a boot walking out of the venue. So it's not looking good. Pep had some comments today. But as a Haaland owner, I'm not feeling great. And a Wood owner, it's disastrous FA Cup run of fixtures for me. So
that, I think, so that sums up all the FA Cup round fixtures, correct, Paul?
Yeah.
And just want to make sure.
Yes, that's all done. Though, just to be clear, the Wood injury, I think, was an international duty.
It was.
Remember, he was gone. Was. So yeah. Not the FA Cup itself.
Nuno came out today and he had some pretty positive comments that alluded to maybe he'll be back sooner than they thought, that he might be recovering well. But I think the midweek is going to come very quickly. Like, Forest play tomorrow on, Tuesday? So I would not expect to see Wood playing against Manchester United at home. But stranger things have happened in the past. I would really just probably not. I would lean towards him not playing is what my assumption would be. So
yeah.
Same with Haaland as well.
Yeah, I would too. I think there are different options at this time, but I mean, I thought Haaland was going to be a great great way for me to kind of like raise my rank just from him going off, you know, but
right.
That's probably not going to be the case going forward. So we're going to have to be swift and adaptable. So we'll see what happens with that.
You're going to have to pivot.
I'm going to have to pivot, but yeah, Luke, I think it's really exciting. I mean, just looking at the fixtures for this upcoming week, I mean, we have probably, I don't know, I'd say one of the best fixtures may be Newcastle-Brentford. That could be a really good game. Brighton-Villa. Arsenal-Fulham, that could be a really good one too. So I'm just excited to see Premier League games coming back, you know?
Yeah, it'll be great to have it back. It feels like it's been a very long time since the Premier League was back. And, oh, since the reminder of, you know, looking back on FPL from game week 29, Bruno Fernandes just managing to get a goal and 2 assists and 3 bonus and just really my hopes and my dreams as well. So thank you for that, Bruno Fernandes. And thank you, me, for reminding me of that moment. That's great.
Yeah.
Yes. So looking forward. So game week 30, there are some very interesting fixtures popping up for this week. For one, we have a good amount of, I guess the way I say it, is kind of higher table teams playing lower table teams in this run of fixtures for game week 30. For one, we have Man City at home against Leicester, which is a really good fixture.
Of course, Haaland gets hurt for the Leicester fixture.
Right. Of course. Of course he does. And then we also have Bournemouth hosting Ipswich Town. That's a really good fixture for Bournemouth.
I wonder who Luke will captain.
It's going to be tricky, honestly. I'm not entirely sure who I'm going to captain. But then another very important, you know, top of the table team as well is Liverpool. They have Everton at home. This one feels a bit different. It feels like Liverpool might just try to run rampant. I don't know. It's just last time when they played, it was at Goodison. It was the last Merseyside derby being played at Goodison that had a very specific edge and bite to it. This one, before it has actually started, before Wednesday's here, it just feels like it's going to be more calm. Liverpool might just do the business here. I'm not sure. Well, I'll just have to wait and see.
It is a little weird, Luke, though. So let's look. Liverpool, the last time they played, let's see, was March 16th in the EFL Cup against Newcastle. And they played that Tuesday before against PSG where they lost in Champions League. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, I think you could see Salah go absolutely crazy in this match. Like, I mean, they've had time to get rest back into their legs, maybe recuperate a little bit, which I think is what really was catching up to Liverpool.
Right.
But we'll see. Maybe, I mean, those are two huge losses to have to bounce back from. So we'll kind of see a lot of like what this Liverpool team is about coming back against one of their biggest rivals.
Yeah, we will. I think that, like you're saying, it's been a rough couple of weeks for Liverpool. Maybe this break did come at a really good time for them where they can get their feet back underneath themselves and really just finish off the season by closing out the title. But what's the fun in that, right? I think we would like to see a little drama, a little excitement. Maybe Arsenal can push for the title. So just something to keep an eye on. It really kind of a big moment within seeing if that's going to be feasible is, does Saka start game week 30? And that's going to be a big question for a lot of people out there who are building their wild card for 30. Arteta had some very positive comments today saying that he believes that Saka is ready to start and he has his fitness. And we know Arteta. Arteta is going to wheel him out there, whether it's in a wheelchair, he has to airlift him, whatever it may be. Saka will be on the pitch. So that's the question here, Paul, and I'll pose this to you. Do you think Saka starts in game week 30 against Fulham?
I hope he doesn't. Well, okay. I would be okay. So it really depends on how they handle it. But we were talking about this before the podcast. I think 60 minutes max if he starts against Fulham. Hopefully just a half. He just needs to get game time under his legs. Because, I mean, we look at the schedule. They play Fulham tomorrow at 2:45. They play Everton on Saturday, April 5th. And then Tuesday, April 8th, there's the Real Madrid fixture at home, which is probably one of the biggest matches at the Emirates in the past, like, probably since last season against Bayern Munich, or for the stakes of what Arsenal, like, for their European hopes. I mean, this is the biggest match they've had all season, you know?
Right.
At the end of the day, yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to really want Saka for that one. So I hope the time's managed. But, I mean, on top of that, I mean, I'm somebody that really wants Saka in my team. And it's just really difficult right now because, I mean, I think wildcarding him in on 30 is probably too early to me.
Yeah, it's a roll of the dice. I think it really depends on where you are at and whether you care more about mini league, overall rank. It all depends on your exposure to risk that you're willing to take as a FPL manager. If you're willing to take the risk, you could have a huge advantage by playing Saka. Let me look and see what his current ownership is. It's very tiny, and whoever... The important thing here, too, also is what is the effective ownership of people who are still playing the game as well for Saka? Because he's a very popular pick, easily could have been picked by a lot of people that just aren't checking their teams anymore. So he's currently at 8.9% selected. I don't know exactly what the ownership is for still teams that are still active. I would wager it's probably below 2 to 3%, right? Mm-hmm. So you could have a huge gains from that. We know Saka's probably going to be on pins. He's going to be very creative, you know, most likely. He might take him a little while to play into shape, but I would say if you're willing to take the risk and you're not worried about being too risk averse, then maybe it's a good shout.
Yeah, Luke. I mean, the simple stat that really just stands out about Saka is that he has 19 big chances created. The only person in front of him is Salah, 21. And Saka hasn't played since, like, the beginning of January.
Yeah, he's also... I think he's near the top with assist as well.
He's at 10 assists and Salah has 17.
Yeah. So it's... I think you said... Yeah, you said big chances created. So he's such an impressive player and instrumentally important for everything that Arsenal try to do.
Yeah, and Luke, I think to prove your point, you said he's at, what, like 2.5% owned right now?
He's at 8.7, but
I mean,
I'm saying
that's differential. To have somebody that has that ability to create and to be as involved with, like, as we usually talk about, as like the figurehead of an attack, especially with Havertz still being out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the minute that Saka comes back in that team, he's going to be... he's going to be creating issues for defenses, and he's going to be around the goal-scoring opportunities. So,
could be a really exciting partnership. Apparently, Arsenal are stepping up their pursuit of Victor Gyökeres, currently at Sporting. If they got him in, I think that would be a really nice fit with Saka. He is just at this point, very clinical. Who knows what happens? Does that translate to the Premier League whenever he makes a move? He's, you know, he's been around the Premier League before, but we'll see. Maybe he comes back and just tears up the league and leads Arsenal to a title next season. Who knows?
We can only
maybe
hope.
They get him. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't end up Arsenal. You never know what happened. What's going to happen in football? But okay. So at this point, I think it would be good for us to maybe take a little break, and then we're going to come right back and talk to you all about our hypothetical game week 30 wildcard teams. And as we go through that, we'll also be talking about the team specifics as well, along with looking at how the doubles are going to stack up in the remaining game weeks in our build up to game week 38 in the final game week of the FPL season.
Yeah, we'll be right back, guys. All right, everybody, welcome back to Top Bins with Twins. And typically, this is Paul. Whenever I do a segment intro, I love to ask Luke a random question.
Bring it on.
And so for people that don't know, Luke is a huge Steph Curry fan, has absolutely loved him since his Davidson days. Luke, who do you think is the closest comp to Steph Curry in world football playing right now? Or we can go over the last like 10, 15 years. Just a little rhetorical question for you.
That's a great question. Steph Curry. So in order to emulate Steph Curry, you need to be creative.
We're hearing Luke's thought process right now.
Yeah, insightful. Maybe the best person to compare to.
I think I have one in mind.
Actually, okay. This kind of came to my mind. I think comparable as both Steph Curry and this player as young in their prime, fully fit. I think Son might be a really interesting comparison because Son has the creative juices of Steph Curry while also having portions of the long range game that Steph Curry has as well. You know, like, you think back to the run that Son had against Burnley, 4 or 5 years ago, where he just completely took on almost the entire side from Burnley. Steph Curry does the same thing as well, right? Like, he'll dribble through 5 defenders, turn all the way back around, take a 3, fade away, not even look, and, you know, swish it. So, yeah, I would say Son is an interesting comparison. Maybe not the best one, but just the first one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking a little bit of Neymar.
I could see it.
I think a little bit of the flash, a little bit of the... I was mostly thinking from the gravitational pull that they create with the ball at their feet or in their hands. That one, just watching defenses fall apart in front of Neymar and how Steph Curry kind of does the same thing.
Maybe, yeah, I think the...
loosely comparable.
The difference between the two is Steph Curry is kind of psychotic to an extent in his competitive nature. Neymar might be, but he also, I don't know, to me, he just seems a little more laid back than, he's not the killer that Steph is in my mind, right? So maybe that's the difference
Fair. Not to derail the whole podcast, let's go ahead and go into, I think Luke's going to kind of give us a little information about where the double game weeks, the blank game weeks are falling. And this is all, once again, according to Ben Krellen, our FPL
figure. Yes. So let's look at this real quick. So for the upcoming deadlines, we have game week 30, which is quickly approaching, 31, and then 32 is going to be confirmed a double game week. We have Crystal Palace playing Man City away and Newcastle away, along with Newcastle playing Manchester United at home and Crystal Palace at home. Very good fixtures there for Newcastle. But the next question is, and so that double right there, so 32, that was the result of the EFL Cup, right? Liverpool, they had their match pushed forward with Villa. Newcastle had their delayed fixture pushed back. So 32 is where that fell. That's why we're getting Newcastle and Crystal Palace doubling in 32. 33 we're going to see a round of, we potentially see a round of doubles based upon how the FA Cup played out. So based upon that, we have Crystal Palace, Man City, Villa, and who's the other team? And Nottingham Forest, who've moved on to the FA Cup semifinals. Mm-hmm. Those four teams are hypothetically going to double in 33, but with the tidbit that it looks like Nottingham Forest are not going to double in 33. It seems most likely maybe 36, or they might just stay in 34 as well, because they can move the fixtures around and, you know, it'll work out. So still a lot to watch there. But for 33, if we get those four teams I just listed, and also important note here, Arsenal would also double as well in 33 because they do play Crystal Palace. So in 34, if that gets canceled and moved forward to 33, then we would have Crystal Palace doubling against Bournemouth at home, Arsenal away. Have Man City doubling with Everton away, Villa at home. Villa doubling with Newcastle at home and Man City away. And then we'd also have Arsenal, who are doubling because of Crystal Palace, where they would have Ipswich away and then Crystal Palace at home. Also possible, like I mentioned, that Forest and then potentially Brentford could be playing in 33, coming from the 34 fixture that is pushed back or postponed and then rescheduled to 33. There's another scenario here too, though, where in 36 we could see some further doubles. That could be the result of these FA Cup semifinals fixtures that are rearranged being pushed back to 36. Or we could also have some issues with the FA Cup final further complicating things. And then on top of that, we could also have some European fixtures that if teams go far enough in their respective tournaments, that could cause them to blink and then in 37 and then being pushing those fixtures up to 36. So all this work is very much so due to Ben Krellin. It's very, very helpful and insightful for everyone because a lot of people still have a lot of chips left. And using those chips as wisely as possible is the most important thing we can do within FPL. So the thing is, we still don't have all the information at this point. And there's a narrative that's building right now from certain content creators in the FPL world that game week 30 is the best time to wildcard. I push back on that because we do not have all the information yet. We do not have these fixtures confirmed for when they are. And remember Newcastle, Crystal Palace, everyone was shocked by them being pushed to 32, right? The assumption was they'd go to another game week. The Premier League might keep us on our toes like that. So I think it's best to get as much information as possible. After that monologue there, I'm going to pass it over to you, Paul, and just kind of tell everyone what you're thinking with all this information.
Yeah, first off, Luke, great job covering that. That's a lot to break down. It's not crazy complicated, but there's a lot of what ifs. This is possible. This may be possible. And I think it's a great thing to highlight that last time with the doubles, the Premier League surprised us and things weren't what you expected them to be. So I completely in the same camp with Luke that wildcarding in game week 30, it's kind of like studying for an exam 2 months before you've learned all the material. Like, it's just not something that logistically like makes sense to me, because I understand like if you were rolling into a double game week in 31 where you wanted to utilize a different chip and all that stuff. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, there's a possibility that maybe Haaland isn't really hurt and he's going to be that you could wild card him in 31. Or if Saka plays in the first match and gets hurt again, like there's so many different variables and like the FPL landscape changes so quickly. And obviously there hasn't been too much movement, but with the FA Cup and international break, but there's been massive stuff that's happened. I mean, if you played a wild card, you still have the ability to change your team and everything, but like imagine all the stuff that's going to happen this midweek fixture. So I just hate moving way too early with stuff. That's why I always make my transfers on Friday, kind of after pressers and all that stuff. So I completely agree with Luke. I think it's a great point, and I would highly recommend not using a wild card in game week 30.
Yeah, for some teams, it makes sense to me. If you don't have any Crystal Palace, you don't have any City assets. And maybe you have Chris Wood along with Haaland, and you have a bunch of injury. You have Morgan Gibbs-White.
You're defining my whole team, basically.
Well, I'm just saying everything's so situational, and we always say that on the pod, but it is inherently true to how you play FPL, that the team that you're looking at when you pull up the Premier League app, that dictates how you should play the game. It shouldn't be that everyone else is doing one specific strategy, because that's not how you're going to differentiate yourself and, you know, kind of make those gains that you might need, right, for whatever target you have for the season. So what I'm trying to say here is that it's very important for each person to see what their team needs at what specific time. And like I was talking about earlier, your risk appetite is going to dictate how you play this game. And let that kind of be your guiding North Star, because everyone, to get enjoyment out of it, should play the game differently. Paul plays the game very differently than I do. I use a bit more of a statistical breakdown. I like to look at who's in form. I like to look at the underlying expected goals, expected assists. A lot of people don't love expected stats, but I, for one, really appreciate them, and I think it can be a worthwhile use for selecting your team. But
yeah,
that's up to each person. So
I would say, look, I bring more of a delusional energy to our podcast, where there's a lot of hopes and dreams with emotional things that I feel, which is not, I've been trying to get away from that this year, and I think I've been better about it, but it's going to be really hard for me not to bring Sokka in. It's going to be so hard.
And I don't think there's a reason for you to, if you want to, I don't think you should fight yourself too much on that, because it's really not a bad choice at this point. Having the upside of him, let's say he doesn't even start, right? Arsenal's beating Fulham 2-0. He gets subbed on in the 65th minute. You have almost 30 minutes of him playing on the pitch, right? And they need him to get time into his legs at a Premier League level speed and get him building up to that pace of play. So I think he will play.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want 30 minutes of Sokka when you could have 90 minutes of Eze, right?
Speaking of Eze.
Okay, go ahead.
I think this man's going to cook over the next couple of weeks. He got a goal for England. He's now back, and this Crystal Palace team got a goal and an assist. This is what we expect from Eze to start the year. And obviously there was kind of a dip at the beginning of the season because, I mean, I think there's been a lot of different factors, but Palace just were bad to start the season. And lately, I think Sar's been kind of like the talisman of that attack. But with Mateta coming back, with all these different things, I just love Eze as a player, dude. He's so fun to watch.
He is a lot of fun to watch.
But from an FPL perspective, what do you think,
Luke? Just want to make this note, though. So looking at understat.com, they provide a statistical breakdown of players, teams. Sar has, this is from January 1st all the way up to current time, right? And these are purely Premier League stats. Sar has an XG of 4.06, an XA of 2.58. Eze has an XG of 1.98, so almost two less than Sar. And then an XA of 2.74, so comparable XA. So, you know, when you look at it, Sar might be the better asset. Seems like he might be getting a bit better chances, right? Just, you know, based upon what we're seeing here since the beginning of January. But Eze is building form. We see this so many times where a player goes to their respective international camp, and usually, you know, like it's good whenever, usually it's with bigger squads as well, right? They go, they learn, they see the level, and it kind of just, Eze has the talent to be one of the best players in that England squad.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you have to have a challenge issued to you or a reminder of who you are. And I think maybe this England international camp has done that for him, hopefully.
Yeah.
So Eze is someone that I'm watching very closely as well.
Yeah, Luke, I love that, because that kind of ties into Bill Simmons, the Ringer,
mm-hmm,
original podcast starter. But he has a theory about like Team USA when the NBA players go off and like they all are like in a camp playing together, preparing for like one like mission together. That, I mean, it's kind of like sometimes a catalyst for being around other elite players where, I mean, I think you're right, Luke. It kind of reminds a little bit that like, oh, this is like the level and I'm actually at this level. I'm better than this level. Like at times, like Isaiah has shown that he's one of the most creative midfielders in the Premier League. And I mean, it's been a little spotty hit and miss this year, but maybe he's finding it, which is a great time to buy low on him because his upside is exponential.
It is. One of my favorite transfers this season has been bringing in Jean-Philippe Mateta. Bing, bing, Mateta, my man.
I can't wait to see him kick another flag.
Me neither.
I'm pumped, dude.
So I am also, so my team, I'm not going to be wildcarding in game week 30. I'm still formulating my exact chip strategy. There's a safe plan. There's a very not safe plan. And there's just kind of like an average risk plan. So I have three different options that I'm considering at the moment. The majority, all three of those do not consist of me wildcard. Well, one of them does consist of me wildcarding in 30, but I don't love that one. So it's probably not going to happen. So I'm stuck with two options, but the good thing is I don't need a wildcard in 30 for those other two to still functionally work. The thing about this though is, I think a lot of people are going to be going heavy on Palace and Newcastle, right? Purely because they want to have them for 32 for the doubles. I think a lot of people are going to transfer out players that they're going to regret transferring out. One of them, if he plays, I think this break could have been great for him, is Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer is someone who he's been really great this season. And I think we've got this completely misconstrued. He's been really good. It's just the players around him that he relies on have either stopped performing or been injured.
Well, I think he's also been out of form too, Luke.
Right, but he was leading the league in chances created by a crazy amount for the longest time, and his teammates weren't finishing the chances. If they would have finished their chances, he would be on the level of Salah at this point.
Well, I mean, also, if you go back and you watch probably the last four or five matches, I captained him, I think, two of the last four game weeks. I mean, he had a week where he easily could have had a hat trick. He had another week where he could have had two goals and an assist. I mean,
no,
like,
I agree.
And part of that, I mean, obviously, we understand at times that, I mean, I think the level of his teammates around him doesn't sometimes meet Cole Palmer at Chelsea. But he's also just like an elite level player. Like, he really is. But in saying that, I just want to say that he himself missed a lot of chances that he probably should have finished.
He did. But where that comes from, I think that comes from a lack of confidence. The lack of confidence stems from the times whenever he's creating chances for his teammates and they're not finishing chances. Then the pressure starts to mount and he's like, okay, well, I've got to finish these chances that I'm getting. He misses a penalty. He does all these things that, frankly, I think he's better than making those mistakes or not converting those chances.
Yeah, he's an elite level player.
It's all psychological. In my mind, right, if you were to place him in this Man City team that currently exists, where it's Marmoush, who's a very lively, energetic player, I think he'd really fit him well along with Haaland too. There's always what ifs there, but I think if Palmer was surrounded by players who were a bit more clinical and a bit more reliable, he would be having probably a better season than Salah is right now, because everything that possibly could have gone right for Salah this season has gone right, minus the Champions League.
You can say that again.
So,
and the Carabao Cup too. But not to highlight that. Luke, I think Chelsea need this summer, they need to go back into their checkbooks. I know they don't mind writing the checks. And they need to go get an elite level nine. Like, yep. I'm talking like if they put Isak in this current team, they would be a contender next season to win the Premier League.
My guess is that they go and get Ozenheim. That would be my guess.
I could see that. I could see that.
because it's kind of he'll be a little discounted. Before, I think. Yeah, and he's very talented. He's a great striker. He's someone that I think would fit Cole Palmer pretty well. Mm. And the most important thing I think you're looking for in a striker is who complements our best player. Cole Palmer is your best player, so how do you complement him really well with the striker? So
that would be Osenheim would be one that, like, I think that would be a partnership. We would see a little bit like Palmer, Osenheim would be like a little bit like maybe Saka. I mean, not Saka, but Son and Kane.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. There. Okay. Well, now that we've kind of discussed the layout and what to expect from the landscape of FPL, I want to walk you all through a quick wildcard 30 team that I put together. Reminder, I will not be wildcarding myself, but if you do feel so inclined, then more power to you. This wildcard I put together is designed for being ready for game week 30, targeting the doubles for game week 32, and then also being ready for game week 33, where there could potentially be more doubles as well, with the mindset of Crystal Palace potentially having a double-double, and then also Arsenal doubling along with Villa and Man City. So with that being said, the team that I'm looking at the moment would be a back. So let's just start with the goalkeepers. And Paul, feel free to interject here at any point if you have any questions or thoughts. So I would go with Raya in goal, and then Henderson as my backup goalkeeper. That way that gives you two goalkeepers for when if you're going to bench boost in 33 for that double. Next, be looking at a back five of Timber, Munoz, Kirkez, who would probably be moved on after this game week, Vardiol, and then Livermento with Newcastle. So those would be the back five. Okay. I think that looking at this, Timber and Kirkez are probably the ones that could be rotated potentially with this wild card.
Yeah.
Don't have to have them, but maybe you decide to go with a Villa defender instead of Kirkez. So maybe it looks like Digne is getting really popular at the moment with his two assists over the weekend. Diassassi could be a good option too. He's pretty cheap. Seems like he's pretty locked into the starting 11. Maybe those, because they do Villa will most likely double in game week 33. A midfield five of Kluivert. As you can tell, I love Bournemouth. They have absolutely trashed my team since I tripled up on them.
Yeah.
Because they've decided to just not be as good after I got them on my team, but I still am a believer. So Kluivert, Rashford,
okay,
Anthony Gordon, Mo Salah, can't go without Salah, unfortunately, and then Saka in the midfield. So,
wow, so you're not going with Eze or Sar?
No, Eze or Sar, because I'd already be tripled up, right? And you also have to remind yourself, though, that maybe the move here would be going from, instead of Henderson, moving him to Martinez with Villa, and then that gives you space to use the assistant manager if you want to use that for the double-double for Crystal Palace. So you got to keep your options open here. The front three, and this is copy-paste for pretty much everyone at this point, with Wood being injured and potentially Haaland going down, Mateta, Marmoush, and then Isak. So I think it's a really solid wild card. It gives you flexibility, prepares you for game week 32 for that double, 33's doubles, and then really kind of sets you up for a really nice bench boost in 33 for that, you know, probably potentially the biggest week of doubles. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that team, Luke. The only thing I would say is a little wiggle room there maybe to give yourself more time if you're going to wild card this week is maybe get Sock in your team, then work backwards from there kind of at the end, and then take him out and leave those funds at the very end so that you just have that money waiting. Obviously, price range changes could impact that, but have that way we kind of give him a little more time to see what he's going to do, how many minutes he's going to be playing.
Yeah, underneath that, you know, I could easily make Henderson Martinez, and then downgrade Saka to Sar or Eze, with the mindset of bringing Saka in.
Exactly. Soon, so. Exactly. But I think that's a great wild card team. This is the time, and I can't lie. I haven't been great about planning out exactly where I'm going to use my chips, but this is the time to really utilize all those different assets we have to get more points in our teams. So need to sit down, really plan that out, and lock it in. Because I mean, the best thing you can do is use talent plan and vision, right? But vision. Oh my God, I can't talk.
Almost got it.
Talent planning and vision. Mm-hmm.
Damn. Yeah, so it's like you're saying, it is going to be a pretty wild time in FPL because I think this was the final international break. So we are very happy to hear.
Thank God.
Hear that.
Thank God.
Let me just check that real fast, though. Paul, if you want to leave the listeners with some final thoughts here.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just what I was saying. What I would like to highlight is, we're in the final push after this. I think the games are going to be pretty consistent. Luke's checking the international break right now, but planning out those chips, kind of determining, like, I think a great thing to really, like, one of the biggest questions to ask yourself right now is kind of figure out where you're situated and, like, where you want to be and determine your level of risk. Like, how hard do you want to push to try to, if you're at 1 million right now, how hard do you want to push to get maybe in the top 100K? Because if you're going to do that, you're going to have to make some pretty calculated risks. So just kind of discern that, figure out what works for you, what works for your team. Like Luke said, one of the biggest things is all the stuff we talked about in the podcast, it's all still very situational. It depends on what that layout of your team looks like. So go ahead, factor that in. And also, like I always say, me and Luke love talking about this shit. We talk about it in our free time all the time. It hasn't been as much lately because we haven't had that much to talk about. But I'm sure that we're going to be talking about it very, very much in depth over the next couple of weeks. So reach out to us on Twitter, Blue Sky, however you want to get in contact with us. And we'd love to have a discourse with you.
Yeah, I think that's great, Paul. I don't really have any other further thoughts outside of what you just said, because that was great. Very insightful for the listeners out there, and hopefully that helps them kind of level set and get ready to make that final push as we enter the final game weeks for FPL. I myself am very excited to see how it's going to shake out over the next, the next week is what I'm looking at, because I want to see the doubles announced and locked in. Officially give us an idea of where the fixtures are going to be, and then we can better target once we know exactly what's going to happen. Being very arbitrary with planning the chips is good, having different options you can go with, but locking in that game week 30 kind of puts you on a specific path. So if you're not sure, I would advise to hold that wild card if you can, if you're not locked in on using that. So that's my final piece of advice. But I want to thank you all for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it because we know everyone's busy, a lot of stuff going on. So taking time out of your day to spend it with us is much appreciated. Mm-hmm. And we will be back with you all very soon to talk about Game Week 31 and get you ready for that.
Also, Jerry, if you're still listening, wild card Game Week 38. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.